This podcast and our many other ministries are only possible because of your generosity. You can give and support Grace by going to gracelutheran1.org/give or by clicking on the link in the show description. Thank you for your support. So today and this time of year is always a really exciting and hopeful and restful time of year for me. You see, like many of you, I am very busy leading up to Christmas, and it's a good busy. There's a lot of things going on, but I really appreciate the week after Christmas to take an opportunity to rest and reflect and renew. To rest and reflect not only on the past year, but also on the year ahead. To think of all the ways that God has blessed me and my family, the ways that the Holy Spirit has worked in and through my life, and how God might be calling me to live anew in the year ahead. Many people articulate this experience by making things called New Year's resolutions, ways that they resolve to be different or do different things in the year ahead. A new year for many people feels like a fresh start, an opportunity to turn the page. But as most of us know, many people who make New Year's resolutions don't always keep them. They may keep them for a few weeks or even a few months, but eventually things go off the track. And there are many reasons why this happens, but one of the reasons is that life is messy. That we might have a vision for our life or our year, and the messiness of life complicates things, makes things more difficult. Now, whether we are a person who makes New Year's resolutions or not, life's messiness will affect us in one way or another. And so the question then becomes, how do we deal with the messiness of life? How do we deal with a life that always isn't neat and clean and clear and according to plan? How do we make lemonade out of lemons, if you will? The truth of the matter is, if we feel the messiness of life, we have a lot in common with Mary and Joseph in our gospel reading today. We are following Mary and Joseph in our scripture reading today in the months and even years following Jesus' birth. Now, having three children of my own, I know that before a child arrived, you spend a lot of time planning and creating a life so that when the new child comes home, things will be as simple and as neat as possible. But, like I mentioned before, as much as we try to plan, life is not always simple and neat. Life is often very messy, especially when it comes to having small children. And this is what Mary and Joseph were experiencing in our scripture reading today. But life wasn't messy because Jesus was sick, or Jesus needed to be taken to the doctor, or there were too many diapers for them to deal with. Life was messy for Mary and Joseph because from a very young age, Jesus's life was being threatened. You see, the scriptures tell us that Jesus was born during the time and under the rule of a man named King Herod. And King Herod was very insecure and very self-centered. He was worried constantly about maintaining his power and authority. And he began to hear rumors and whispers that within his land, within his territory, a king was being born. And this king would not only rule some of the world, but would rule all of the world. And so King Herod, in his insecurity, tried to learn about where Jesus was being born so that he could end Jesus' life. And he used a group of people that we all know very well, a group of people known as the wise men. You see, by following the stars, the wise men had begun to track where Jesus was currently living and staying. And so King Herod had these wise men before they visited Jesus to come to him. And King Herod said, you know, when you find this Jesus, let me know, because I want to visit him and pay homage to him and bow down to him. Well, the wise men visited Jesus, and they were made aware that King Herod wanted to end Jesus' life, and so they did not go back to King Herod, but instead went a different way back home. When King Herod found this out, he was infuriated. And so an angel of the Lord came to Joseph and Mary and told them to flee to a distant land, a land of Egypt, where they would be safe and no longer under the authority of King Herod. King Herod then does something incredibly tragic. He actually tries to end as many lives of young children as possible, not knowing which of them is Jesus, but knowing the possibility that one of them is. After a while, King Herod dies, and Joseph and Mary are then able to return back to Israel. But once again, they find out that a new leader, a new king, is looking for Jesus, and then Jesus's life might be threatened again. And once again, they have to uproot their life and go move to the town of Nazareth, where they will then raise Jesus until he becomes an adult. You see, when we talk about the Christmas story, we talk about the birth of Jesus, we often leave a lot of the messiness out, because the truth of the matter is we do not like messiness in our stories, but we also don't like messiness in our lives. So the question then becomes, how do we deal with the messiness of life? How do we have a God that is loving? How do we have a God that calls us to live with a sense of hope, and yet we experience, not only in our scripture reading today, but also in our life, things that are incredibly sad and tragic? Do we choose hope, or do we choose to focus on the sadness of life? Well, the truth of the matter is, as Christians, I believe that we are called to hold both hope and sadness in our life at the same time. You see, there are three different ways that we might respond to the tragedies or the difficulties in our world and in our life. And two of them are not so good, and one of them are faithful. The first way that we might respond to tragedies in our life, in our world, is we try to sanitize them. We try to pretend that they're not there. We try to look past them. We try to not acknowledge them. If there's something difficult and scary in the world, we maybe try to change the channel, if you will. Focus on something more hopeful, more positive. But the problem with this is that it doesn't acknowledge reality. And whether we like it or not, things will come into our life and the life that of people that we care about that are problematic and not ideal. And so to pretend that bad things are not there, or pretend that bad things do not happen, pretends that reality does not exist. The other way that we might try to deal with the tragic nature of our world and sometimes our life is to fall into despair. I've heard many people say that they cannot believe in a God that would allow certain things to happen. They cannot believe in a God that would not allow bad things to happen to good people. That we might fall into a place of despair, but to fall into a place of despair doesn't acknowledge the goodness of God. But there's a third way that we can choose to view our world and choose to live our life. It's the way that Mary and Joseph chose to live through these tumultuous years of Jesus' life. Is that we can acknowledge that terrible things do exist, that terrible things do happen, but we can always be hopeful that God will continue to work in us. You see, Mary and Joseph, when they learned that their son Jesus' life was in jeopardy, they didn't pretend that nothing was wrong. They didn't pretend that nothing was happening. They rolled up their sleeves and they listened to God and they got to work. They acknowledged what was going on. The scripture tells us that they fled where they were living to go to Egypt. And people who flee something are not doing so in a way that is always calm, cool, and collected. I'm sure that during this time in Jesus' life, Mary and Joseph were filled with a great deal of fear. But in the midst of their fear, they also lived with a sense of hope. A sense of hope that God would continue to work in and through them. Notice this scripture reading from the book of Philippians. I think this is something that was on Mary and Joseph's heart. This is an idea that they held fast to. Philippians says, "And I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." You see, there is tragedy in our story. There is tragedy caused and suffering caused by King Herod. And there is suffering and tragic things that are caused by human hands, even today in our world. But the thing that we must remember above all is nothing or no one could stop God's work. That King Herod tried to stop Jesus. He tried to end Jesus' life. But was he able to do that? No. Despite his best efforts, despite all his power, all his ability, he was not able to put an end to God's good work. And the truth of the matter is, the same thing applies today. Nothing or no one can stop the good work that God wants to do through us and in our world. Romans puts it this way, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, we can be honest about the tragic things that exist in our world. We can be honest that life is sometimes hard, but we must always be hopeful because God will accomplish his mission. God will accomplish his work despite our present troubles, despite the present problems that exist in our world. We can be hopeful even in the midst of pain. And the truth of the matter is, we are accustomed and know how to do this with our physical health. For example, if someone is going in to get a vaccine, like I take my kids in to get their regular shots, I know that there's some pain within those shots. I know that they will experience some suffering, but I know that long term, they're going to be at a place of greater health, greater protection. Some people have to go through different surgeries. Many people this time of year are having different surgeries, different replacements and operations. And those surgeries almost always cause some short-term pain, some short-term suffering, but they're willing to endure the short-term suffering and pain because of the possibility of greater health and greater strength in the end. And the truth of the matter is, our spiritual health can be like our physical health as well. We might endure some suffering. We might endure some hardships, but we can always be hopeful about the future. We can always be hopeful because we know that God will always deliver. God will always bring us to a bigger place of health and wholeness and well-being. You see, the difference between the operations that we endure in our physical life and the way that God operates in our spiritual life, the way that God operates in our souls is this, is that sometimes the surgeon or the doctor can come through. Sometimes the surgeon or the doctor can fix whatever is going on in us. But with God, God will always come through. God will always deliver on his promise of our salvation. Notice again Philippians, that God who began the good work in you will continue his work until it is finally finished. God is working on you. God is not done with you yet. And God is not done with our world yet. So we can roll up our sleeves and we can get to work. We can get to work living life in such a way that acknowledges that problems do exist, and doing our best in the name of Jesus Christ to address those problems, but recognizing the problems that we cannot address, the problems that we cannot fix, God will address and God will fix. That God is not finished with you yet. That if you are in a place of turmoil, know that God is still working in you. And that God will continue to work in you, in our world, until all is well, until all is complete in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Heavenly Father, life is sometimes complicated and messy. But within the messiness, you are working and weaving your will. Help us be reminded by this story that nothing overwhelms you, that nothing will stop you. And so help us continue to be faithful to your mission, your circumstance, no matter what we might be facing in the present. In your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube page, and follow us on Instagram at GLC_Richmond. If you need anything at all, you can reach out to us by email. Our email is office@gracelutheran1.org. May God continue to bless you.